But yeah, that's the thing. Hellraiser has no joy in it, and yet I like it. I guess because it doesn't have Superman in it, so it doesn't need to have joy. I guess not all stories need to be joy and funny and quirky and fun. Like, it's just a dark. And then the second one I almost like better, and it's still kind of joyless, but it also has like a bit more, I don't want to say camp factor, but there's like a whole section of the movie they spend in hell, which just looks really cool, but it is a little bit cheesy. Because
how many Hellraiser movies did they make?
9?
In a row?
I don't know how to answer that question. I mean, they made one and then they made another.
There were no other movies in Hollywood in between every episode?
No, Rob, that isn't the case.
Oh, okay.
And only 4 of them were theatrical releases. Hellraiser 1,
like the Beethoven
1987
series.
Classic, directed by Clive Barker. Hellraiser 2 is called Hellbound, which is like a direct continuation of Hellraiser 1, and I think it was also the last one that Clive Barker was like involved in.
I've never seen a Clive Barker
movie. I think he wrote it. Well, I don't think he made that many. There's some other movies that are based, like there's a movie called The Midnight Meat Train that's based on one of his. It's a great
name. I don't
name.
Like the name of that.
Why?
I don't know. Midnight Meat Train.
Yeah. Well, why do you guys have to go there? I mean, well, before I continue this, me telling you all about Hellraiser, let's go around the horn and introduce ourselves. I'm Joey G. This is the Geek Stampede.
This is the
Weekly.
Midnight Meat Train.
This is the Midnight Meat Train. Welcome to the show. For another week, I'm Joey G. Joining me this week, 90 degrees to me.
Robbie G.
That's right. And then I guess if that's 90, then that's probably 45 degrees we have. Hi, it is back. You can say your own name. You can just say hi. That's cool.
I always thought of me as about 45 degrees.
I always thought of me as 98 degrees.
Oh,
be true to your heart.
More singing.
You must
singing.
Be true to your heart. That song was in Mulan. But anyway, back to Hellraiser. Back to the very topical and current issue at hand. the 27, almost 28-year-old film franchise, Hellraiser. So Hellraiser 2, I think Clive Barker didn't write that. I guess the only one he actually really was involved in was the first one. But the second one is like a cock-smoking piece of shit thing stopped working on me again. I've had nothing but trouble trying to get my wife's computer working.
I thought you were describing the movie.
No. This fucking asshole machine. I hate computers that aren't mine because they don't fucking work. All right, I'm going to save you till later. Sorry. Where was I? Hellraiser 2 is like a direct...
Oh, is it still recording?
Oh, yeah, we've been recording.
I thought that was the thing that stopped.
No, this thing. No, the mics are... Oh, fuck, I didn't plug in the mics.
Oh, Jesus.
Hang on. Sound better now? Oh, look at that. Now we sound way better. I wonder if anything Hyde said was audible. I'm going to go ahead and say, fuck, I had it unplugged because... Oh, why am I allowed to be in charge of podcasts? I suck at this. We've done whole episodes where I'm like, oh, fuck, I forgot to plug in the mics.
Yeah.
So we were just using, like, the little pinhole mic on my laptop. Where is the mic on my laptop?
It must I don't be know, here Joe. Did you check your butt?
Why would it be in my butt?
Well, I don't know. Did you check there?
No, because it seems like it would be a waste.
The mic is right there.
Oh, yeah, there they are. There's two of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is it probably sounds better now. Probably not a lot better because we don't have a really good sound system, but
yeah.
Better still.
But anyway... I haven't seen any Clive Barker. All I know is that before he was a filmmaker, he was an avid luge, like, enthusiast.
What the fuck are you talking about?
You didn't know that? It's really cool.
What the fuck are you doing right now?
He would luge. All I knew
what?
Was, yeah, he was really big into, yeah, he was really big into outdoor sports.
What
specifically
the fuck are you talking
winter
about?
Winter sports. Yeah, just check his IMDb.
I'm looking at it now. What are you talking about? He's not a... What is that even a reference to?
I don't know. I thought it'd be funny to say.
Does it use into luge? I don't even know what you're talking about right now. He was a novel. He's a writer. He's a horror writer.
Yeah, and before that, he was into luge.
No, he.
Maybe I'm mistaking him for the characters from Cool Runnings.
Yeah, from the Jamaican bobsled team. It wasn't even the luge, you dumb fuck. It was the bobsled. God, you're supposed to be a fucking Canadian. You don't even know your winter sports.
Which one's luge?
It's like the bobsled, only they're like laying down face first or whatever on like a one-man sled.
So
as Jerry
fat.
Seinfeld put it, the bobsled and then there's the luge. It's not even a sled. It's just Bob. I actually like that a bit when he talks about the...
The bit is better when you impersonate him.
Oh, yeah, what's the deal with luges?
You kind of sound
he
like...
He has
Fred
this thing where he says, the luge is the only sport that you could compete in against your will.
Oh.
You can just grab some guy from the loose, like, hey, what are you doing? You're in the luge. I don't want to be in the luge. You're in the luge, buddy.
You ever done the luge?
No, I haven't done a... When would I have done a luge?
School. High school, we did luge.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
First of all, I went to the same high school as you, and I know for a fact that you, like me, dropped gym the second you were allowed in grade 10.
Yeah, but you were already graduated, so you don't know what I was doing the year that you weren't there. We did a lot of...
You know that? You're just fucking stupid as hell. Go fucking play with... Okay, while we're on the subject, which we're not on, and we're going to get back... We are going to get back to Hellraiser.
Get back!
Why did you send me a video of Pokemon the other day?
Because you wanted, you're like asking for music recs.
And so you sent me a fucking Pokemon video. And I was just like, what is this? What is happening? And I was like, did she think I'm Rob? Don't send me Pokemon stuff. I don't know what the fuck this is.
It's a Pokerap.
I mean, I thought maybe it was because I'd asked for music. I was just like, all I see is a picture of Nidoqueen in like the preview plate. I'm like, why is she sending
me Pokemon? Catch him, gotta catch him all. Pokemon! Catch him, catch him. I don't remember what the rap starts with. Go.
I only know the last verse.
Yeah, me, I don't know.
I used to know the whole thing, but that was when I was a child.
That's it.
I'm not a child anymore. Now I have opinions on things like Hellraiser.
My favorite part in the cartoon growing up was when there would be a big story arc with, like, a Pokemon character would be like, oh, Caterpie, we caught a Caterpie. Who's excited about Caterpie?
Why the fuck did you do a story?
Who's excited about this Caterpie? Do we have the Caterpie now? Then it would go, we're going to commercial. Then it would just show you the silhouette of a Caterpie to be like, what Pokemon is this?
Who's that Pokemon?
Yeah, who's that Pokemon?
Wasn't Caterpie the Pokemon that Misty had?
No. Ash caught the Caterpie, but Misty didn't like the Caterpie because it was a bug and it hurt Caterpie's feelings.
Yeah.
Bad person. Honestly,
It's okay. They used Caterpie to fight Team Rocket,
and
then he evolved into Metapod.
What was the bullshit little Pokemon that Misty carried around with her everywhere?
Eventually,
Starmie.
I thought it was like a little half egg thing.
Togepi.
Yeah, Togepi.
But I remember. I distinctly remember Misty having a Togepi. If that's what it was.
Do you remember that scene in Animal House with the
Togepi? That's a weirdly. That's a Toga Party.
Oh.
That was BH. Animal House. Animal House was strictly BH. It's actually a holds up to. But yeah, no, Togepi. Togepi. What is it? It looks... I guess it's Pokemon. I don't know why I'm...
It's a monster in an egg.
Does it evolve into something?
Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah, there's two evolutions.
Oh my god.
There's like the one that looks kind of like a dinosaur, and then the one that's like a flying type.
There's an actual website called the Bulbapedia that I can look at.
Togekiss is something that would probably happen at a frat.
They are 87.5% male, only 12.5% female.
That is
staggering. When I was in the Pokemans, they didn't have boy Pokemans and girl Pokemans.
Did.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did.
You didn't?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Nidoran female?
But it didn't actually... Well, there was a couple that did something, but there was the rest of them didn't have anything, and it didn't fucking matter which one you got.
It did if you were trying to...
Like, the Nidoran, because you get Nidoking and Nidoqueen, but everything else was just like, no, you got an asexual Pikachu. Congratulations. Because I remember later on
in
the series,
in the
I remember reading
too.
I'm like, wait, because like later on, depending on what you got, you would affect how you would like evolve and breed and shit, right?
Yeah.
It's like, Pokemon husbandry became like a big thing eventually, right? Didn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you'd breed your Pokemons?
You can, yeah.
Make them fuck.
I'm
the daycare.
The daycare. The daycares make them bone.
What generation is the egg monster? Is Togepi?
Togepi was Gen 1, I thought. But then his evolutions came out later.
He's number 175, according to the Bulbapedia.
Gen 2.
That would make sense, because I know who he is. So he would have to be from, like, the first or second batch of Pokemons. Because after that,
I think Togekiss came out Gen 4.
Hey, look at this.
Did
I knew I wasn't crazy.
Togekiss?
Misty's Togepi. Misty has... Ash finds an egg which hatches into a Togepi.
Oh yeah, Gen 4.
And since Misty is the first one the baby Pokemon sees, it believes Misty is its mother. That's a wrinkle they never introduced into the Pokemon lore before that. Let like Pokemon latch on to... kind of like birds.
Yeah.
Or turtles. And I guess a Togepi is kind of like a fucked up turtle in a way that doesn't come all the way out of its egg.
Also a great Pokedex description.
Yeah.
Kind of like a fucked up turtle.
Fucked up turtle is my, the turtle's band. Cover band. I fucked it up.
No, it worked great.
No.
I thought it was good.
Whoa! There's a Pokemon Adventures manga, and like the art, the drawing of Togepi is like, this is like a seriously metal Togepi. It looks like just pissed off. He's just like, it's like the Calvin pissing on the tire. Only it's a Togepi.
You could see that on the back of a big Ford truck.
Oh, you could also get it in Super Smash Bros. Brawl. That
besides
was the worst
a metal militia.
Smash Bros. Brawl sucked.
Which one was Smash Bros. Brawl?
The one
What's
for the
wrong
Wii.
With it?
It's shitty.
Oh.
It wasn't. Melee was better. I still want to figure out what it evolves into. Why doesn't the Bulbapedia tell me this?
It will up there, you big dope.
Oh, it evolves into Togetic.
It's the first is...
What? Togetic. Okay, it evolves into Togetic, or Togetic, which when leveled up with High Friendship, which evolves into Togekiss when exposed to a shiny stone.
Okay,
so what does High Friendship mean?
You have to be buds with it.
So like,
you have to use lots of potions on it. Don't feed it berries it doesn't like.
What, you have to feed your Pokemans now?
Yeah, and you can't let it faint. And then if you give it the Soothe Bell, then it'll bond with you.
This
better.
Is Pokemans are too complicated now.
Run around
in my day,
lot.
You were just like, Pokemon, get the fuck out of this ball and fight this motherfucker. Oh, you don't like it? You don't like it? I got 12 other motherfuckers in these balls right here that they'll do just as fine. So you just fucking toe the line, bitch.
I think you're playing Pokemon wrong.
Well, that's how he raises his son.
That's yeah, I mean, you know, it works. Don't question how I raise my family.
She didn't. I did.
Pokemon, Togepi is a fairy-type baby Pokemon, and prior to Generation 6 was a normal-type Pokemon. But now it's a fairy-type baby.
That sounds like an insult in the schoolyard. Like,
you fairy-type baby Pokemon.
Baby.
When did I start saying Pokemon? It's like, I'm trying to remember what it was that made me start saying that.
Your inability to read.
You know what it is? This is actually really embarrassing. It's even worse than that. I got it from a lolcat meme. Because it shows, like, a cat with a bunch of Pokemon cards and it says, wanna see my Pokemans? And ever since then, I've been like, that's awesome. In fact, the reason I bought a DS in the first place was so that me and Peter could show each other our Pokemans. Which, I spent, like, $200 on that joke. And then I got bored of the game after an hour. But I was like, at least I have this joke.
Oh.
So, going up to people and saying, wanna see my Pokemans?
What is the internet meme? Well, it was like a video of the cat racing through space.
Nyan cat,
yeah.
Because I went to...
Nyan cat's got a great tune.
I went to the mechanics to go fix my car.
Mike and the mechanics?
Yep. Yeah, they got...
Guitar player from Genesis,
yep.
Side band.
They had a reunion show, and I went to their jam space.
That's cool.
We talked about the Luge, which is where I saw their main computer, where they were putting in all the orders and everything.
Main computer!
I was talking to like a grease guy. He's he was just
like,
fixing on like.
When you say grease guy, do you mean like
like a
like
Thunderbird
Danny Zuko?
Or like one
yeah.
of those things? Yeah.
Would you like to drop off your car?
Keep talking about my car, yeah.
It's fucked up because it's Kaneki's car.
But I dropped off my car, and I saw the screensaver that the guy had for his. And it was that cat. And he was like,
yeah, let me just make sure you're in the system.
And I checked out his computer. I was like, rad, right on.
Nyan cat.
All right, that's interesting.
Yeah, Nyan cat has got a good little tune. It kind of reminds me of the, what was
meow.
It called?
Meow, 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 meow.
The
meow,
Maya
meow,
He
meow.
Guy,
meow.
You remember that meme? Maya
He. Oh, that guy.
Maya
Numa Numa.
Yeah.
Right.
Maya Ha. Maya Ha. Hello, salute, it's me, your Duke.
Wasn't he also in the Weezer music video?
I don't know. I don't watch music videos.
There was a great music video for
Pokemon. Every once in a while,
I
see...
had all the internet stuff in it.
I remember when that song came out, and I was like, I could watch the music video for this, but I don't watch a lot of music videos. Did Nicole ever come upstairs from the basement? Are you out in the living room, hon?
On the next episode, we'll find out if she was in the living room.
How did we talk about Nyan Cat?
Because I was talking about how cute the background of someone's computer was.
Did we get to that from somewhere?
We were talking about Pokemans, which are also cute.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember, because lolcats.
Lolcats.
Which led us to Nyan Cat and Numa Numa.
Isn't that Jerry Seinfeld's enemy?
Numa Numa. No, hello, Numa Numa. That was BH. Seinfeld!
Seinfeld ended.
Hello, Numa.
In like 99, didn't it?
Yeah.
He was born in like 95.
I did watch reruns.
Yeah.
There you go.
I also
but,
had to
so
watch.
You know Hello Newman.
Yeah.
You also had to watch.
Well, I had to watch the B-movie the other day.
Oh, B-movie?
You had
I
to?
I saw it in the theater.
Who was forcing you to do such a thing?
My friend came over and I made her watch Fight Club, so I tried. I was like, you can choose the movie.
You like Fight Club? That's too bad.
Fight Club is awesome.
I hate it.
That's my favorite.
Fight
really?
Club's the
Fight
best.
Fight Club is in like the short list of movies that I loathe.
Oh, I love it.
I love it.
That like I wish I could have walked out of, but it was my basement. It would have been weird.
Wouldn't have been that weird.
I also don't like the book though.
I think the movie's better than the book.
Or almost. I like the very end of the movie.
The very end of the movie is so much better than the end of the book. The end of the book is goofballs.
It's kind
of
like the end of
Clockwork
Orange.
It's a really good book, except the end is a little bit dopey.
There's no way to describe my opinion of Chuck Palahniuk without sounding like really insulting to younger people who are like in high school, but I'm going to do it anyway. Chuck Palahniuk is somebody you can only enjoy if you read him in high school. Because as soon as you're an adult, you're like, oh god, you're annoying. You've said the same thing.
No, but I thought that the... I don't want to insult people in high school.
No,
but
I didn't say that. I said there's no way to say this without insulting them. So
I'm just going to do it regardless.
Be insulted.
No,
yeah, I remember this last year I read Haunted. No, maybe it was even this year I read Haunted. Because I've been meaning to read
Haunted
that for
has
years.
Cool bits.
No, it is fucking tedious.
There's some stories in it that are really good.
No,
the main... The narrative stringing them all together is...
shit.
Is, you know, backwash, but...
They are bad and he should feel bad.
The last book I've read every single one of his novels, actually, except for the last two, because the last one I read was one called Tell All, and the whole concept of the book is it's this wannabe starlet who just keeps name-dropping people, and that's not even a plot or a character device or anything, but that was 200 pages of name-dropping Brad
Pitt.
I've
read three or four of his books, and the only one that I even remotely liked was Snuff.
Snuff is awesome.
And Snuff is a book that's like, I'm glad I read it in one sitting because it cannot sustain its premise
it's
for more than one sitting.
It's a 180-page
build-up
to a punchline.
Yeah, and it's a good punchline. And it was sort of like an entertaining journey, but like I was glad I didn't have to spend that much time with it. Like Haunted took me a couple of days, and I was like, fuck, I wish this
Haunted
would end.
Haunted isn't that good. Choke is excellent. Survivor actually holds up if you read Survivor.
I just can't
now.
See myself reading another one anytime soon. Maybe.
If you ever decided to read Survivor, Survivor's very good. And Fight Club's... a great book.
I just don't think it's
a
good movie.
The ending of the movie is just better.
I just remember watching the movie. Remember we watched it together, and I'm like halfway through, I was like, they're the same guy, right?
And I remember being blown away that you got that so quickly. I was like, how did you
come? I was like, he's in his head, right? And I went, it's less obvious in the book. And I was like, I don't know, man. It seems fairly obvious the way Meatloaf is talking to him. Even when he says, like, do you know about Tyler Durden? He doesn't say, do you know Tyler Durden?
See, to anyone who doesn't know who Meatloaf is, then that's
who doesn't know who Meatloaf is?
No, but wouldn't that be a funny just sentence? The way that Meatloaf was talking to him.
Yeah.
Like, in that one scene where he was in the kitchen and he was just talking to his leftovers.
I talked to my leftovers.
To the reruns of
There used to be a cartoon I'd watch on Saturday mornings called Fighting Foodons, and people... It was like Pokemon, only they would grow food monsters, and the food monsters would fight each other.
You're making that up like...
Did
they luge, too?
I will now sing you the theme song. Fighting Foodons, here's something incredible. These monsters once were edible, so everybody take a look at combat creatures you can cook. Fighting Foodons. It was great. It was on the Fox box.
They should make... Fighting Futons, and it's just furniture,
beating
each other up.
No, man, Fighting Futons was great.
Wow.
It was fun. Like, it was an example of how, like, manga is great, because they'll make a manga out of anything.
I gotta read more manga. I've really
like,
only
there's
read...
there's a really long-running series called Prince of Tennis that's just about tennis players.
Is it actually good?
I've never read it, but I bet you it is.
There's a lot of, like, sports anime
yeah.
and manga.
And a
really
lot of cooking
now.
Ones. Not just ones yeah. where they fight, either. And here's the other thing. There's more than one fighting cooking manga. I read another one called Toriko. I think it's called Toriko. And about like, this guy who's trying to create the ultimate menu where he'd have to like, go and fight crazy food monsters to eat them.
That sounds like the greatest thing in the
world. It was a
total world.
Shonen manga, but I loved it. I was like, this is great.
I've only read... Okay, I've read a lot of One Piece. And I've
I
read...
love One Piece. One Piece is super fun.
I read Battle Royale, but it was upsetting.
That was originally a novel. And
oh,
I never read
okay.
the comic.
And I read all of Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball. I have all the Dragon Ball Z comics because they're so fun. Oh yeah, Yu Yu Hakusho, the Ghost Hunter kid.
That was a cool one too.
That was sweet.
I am far from any. I'm not even. I will not only say I'm far from being an expert in manga. I'm far from being like moderately clever with manga.
I think to
I
someone
some
who likes
things.
Manga, I just sounded like someone going, "I've read a Spider-Man's before."
Yeah, I mean that's the thing
like,
though, because it's like someone
there's
saying,
like a billion.
I don't know
things.
That I like comics, and I know that's not what you're saying, but like manga just means comics, so. It's not, and that's, for some reason, especially after the Tokyopop boom that happened in the early 2000s, where there was, like, manga everywhere, but it was all shonen manga. So everyone got this idea that manga was a genre. And, I don't like the art. I'm like, that's stupid, because it doesn't look the same. Like, there's different artists. I don't like the art in comics. Yeah, I don't like drawings either, yeah. I don't like paintings, because I just don't like the art. You are an idiot. You personally. But seriously, Hellraiser is a great film.
Oh, my God. But did you read the Hellraiser manga?
There's Hellraiser comics, and I've read a bunch. That's in fact, close. They put out a series called Hellraiser Masterpiece, I think, that reprinted a bunch of like old Hellraiser comics. And I bought that whole series because the covers were all painted and cool. And they were great. Like, they were all short, self-contained horror stories that fit in that universe. And there was some cool shit in there. And then I'm sure the modern stuff is good, too. I just haven't read it all.
What's Nightbreed about?
I don't know. I haven't read it. I think it's about, like, a...
Great.
Cabal. What? Well, great. Me, right? I haven't seen the movie either. I just know it's a thing that exists, and they just put out the Blu-ray of the director's cut. After 25 years, they finally fixed it.
How much is the Blu-ray?
It's $24.99. I saw it today at the store. Nicole?
What store?
On this... The monitor's dying.
What do you want me to do?
Nicole, take it. Your son is dying.
No, shut the fuck up.
That's what the monitor means.
Shut the fuck up. What a stupid thing to say. Why would you come in my house and say that? What is... What? Back me up. Is that not a fucked up thing to say to somebody?
A little.
It's a little fucked up. Your son is dying. What the fuck, Rob? What happens if we find him in the... Like, what happens if tomorrow he's dead? You're going to feel terrible.
Rob's an idiot.
Well, I'll feel terrible regardless.
You're going to feel even worse now.
Why? Because I can see the future?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's a curse you don't want.
To be fair, though, everybody's dying.
That's
wow.
true.
Wow, thanks for bringing this down. I mean, yes, we've been dying since the day I was born.
What?
Isn't that
what
a
song
Sam Roberts
that?
Song?
That's our favorite song. You don't know that song?
Isn't that a Sam Roberts song?
Where? You did it terribly.
Isn't that a Sam Roberts song?
I don't know.
I don't
isn't
know
it
either.
From Nightbreed?
No, it's not. I'm not mad. I'm been dying since the day I was born.
It's Clive Barker's.
It is Sam Roberts. I knew I wasn't crazy.
You're so good at Sam Roberts.
From Hard
trivia.
Road.
Love it.
I don't remember how the song goes, though. Good thing we have the intertubes. Plug in my speakers. Someone grab my speakers there.
The Geek Stampede Roundup. Listening to Joe listen to songs.
Well, it's better than you fucking talking about The Luge.
There's a band in Calgary called The Luge.
No, there isn't.
They're called The Deluge. That was close, though.
I used to listen to this album a lot. Oh, I remember this song, yeah. Okay, I do remember this song now.
Is this his first record?
Feel it grow in your mind.
Your Sam Roberts impression sounds like Bob Dylan.
Life is how you live it through time. And though desert sun. My wife. What's the point? Can you erase that chart off my whiteboard, please? This is called Domestic Bliss, the podcast. I only hear the part that he says this line.
What part? What
it's a good
line?
Song, though.
Where are we?
And the sun dies until it's reborn. But there's no road that ain't a hard road to travel on. Dun, 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 dun. This is a good song. This is a good album. I should listen to this album again. It's entirely
we're
on the
podcast.
Last time is in the second verse, he goes, been dying since the day I was born.
Now I know you're talking about.
But there's no road.
The front cover of this album had a really
road
pretty tree on the front
of it. He's Canadian. Good Canadian boy.
When I was a teenager, I was convinced that I was going to get a full...
Blowjob.
Like...
A full what? A Sam Roberts tattoo?
Yeah. The entire lyrics to that song
to Hard
would be
road?
Tattooed down my chest.
What were you going to say?
I was going to
I
get
something
a big...
Stupid.
Oh, yeah. It's really stupid. Because the front cover to the Monin record, The Red Tree, has a big...
No one knows
what
you're talking about, you idiot. What's Monin?
There is a band called Monin from Toronto, I think.
Monin from Toronto.
They're Monin, and they're from Canada, and they had an album called The Red Tree, and on the front of it, there was this red tree, just like the title of the record.
Oh, I get it.
And there were a bunch of birds flying out from it. And it was a really pretty image. And I was convinced that I was going to get a huge tree all up my side.
You wanted to get an album cover tattoo?
No, I just was like, I want a tree on me. And
I
then
people love tree tattoos. Don't slag off people with tree tattoos.
I'm not done.
Oh, there's more. I'm sorry. It sounded like you were wrapping up.
I'm not
wrapped it up.
Yo, I'm not talking about how shitty tree tattoos are. What I'm saying is this branch was gonna go real far up my neck, and then there were gonna be birds that would go up my neck even further.
I'm glad you didn't get that.
And,
you wouldn't look like a D-bag.
Oh, yes. Then
some
he's gonna have like
tattoos.
winding branches that were gonna expand. I was like, I'm gonna pay thousands of dollars. I'm gonna get it all the way up my neck and all. It's gonna go everywhere, and it was gonna also like bleed out onto my arm. So it was gonna be this. And then I got it.
I don't have any ink, as they say. Some people say that.
Who says that? Bring them here.
Ink master.
Ink Master General. Ink Master! You ever seen that show?
I watched the first season, and like most competition reality shows, I was happy I watched the first season, but I pretty much get it, and I don't need to watch it anymore.
Like Nightbreed.
I've never seen it! You dog fucker! I don't know! You watch Ink Master.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't just nod. It doesn't work very well on mics. I watched the first season. I enjoyed it. The guy I liked didn't win. But I watched the whole season. In fact, Nicole and I watched the whole first season in one night.
Did you like Tommy?
I don't know their names.
Was he bald?
No, he wasn't bald. He was like, he did mostly Asian stuff. Like Japanese kind of stuff. Really good.
Who's the bald tattoo guy who had a huge show and like Kat Von D was on his show?
He's not bald.
Ami.
He's not bald, is he?
Miami Ink.
Isn't he bald?
Because I've seen most of Miami Ink and LA Ink and New York Ink.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought, who's the guy who runs the New York Ink Shop then? Because he was a...
Ami.
What's his name? Ami's not bald, though, is he?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Who am I thinking of?
The guy from Nightbreed.
Because I know Nicole's seen every episode of all those shows.
Chris Dunez, maybe?
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of, yeah.
He's on Ink Master.
Is he?
One of the judges.
Yeah, he has, like, Linkin Park hair, right?
Ew.
He looks a little... Oh, this is what I'm thinking of him. He looked a little Linkin Park-y.
We've come so far.
Like, Nicole watches those shows. Shut the fuck up. It was good though.
Since
Nicole watches those shows
born.
And I would like hear bits of them, and I kind of liked bits of Miami. I liked Miami Ink, and then I liked bits of New York Ink when they weren't being dramatic and fighting with each other, and I loathed LA Ink because as talented as I think Kat Von D is, I find her incredibly,
that's because that
incredibly
show,
irritating.
That show had no tattoos in it.
I know.
I have never seen an
like,
episode where she tattooed
it was just
anybody.
Her fighting with people who work in her store. She's like,
it was her
can't take all the drama today.
Yeah. Every single
I
remember because Sarah was marathoning it once when she was doing homework, and it was just on in the background all the time, which, you know, just for noise, but I'm also in the same room, so I kind of get distracted, and I ended up watching it, and I was just like, every episode she's just angry about the drama,
yeah.
But all I can think is, you love the drama, you wouldn't have a show, like, what?
Yeah,
she never tattooed
anybody. That much drama on Miami Ink. Miami Ink was seemed more like,
it was about tattoos. It was cool.
It was like, there was cool tattoos. Like, Nicole watches... Every once in a while, Nicole will find a new reality show that she likes. And I will purchase them legally from proper channels, and I will get them all for her. I doubt.
You could just say you watch them on television.
But I don't have... I guess that people...
No one knows you don't have cable!
But the point is, she binges them, so...
There's
anyway.
Marathons on television?
Anyway, the point, cretin, is what we do. I get her all the episodes, and so... When she was plowing through the ink shows... I liked that better than some of the other
Nicole.
Ones. Because right now she's really into Pitbulls and Pearlies, which seems like a nice show.
Are you plowing through it?
I'm plowing through it.
I have seen every episode of Girls Next Door. We've talked about it on this show because I've had to, because I literally have. I know so much about the lives of the three girls next door. We have all their biographies in our house.
Are they the ones that were like Kryptonite?
No, that's Three Doors Down.
Oh, it's close.
No, it's Holly Madison, who
right.
went on to
be in Nightbreed.
Well, she had her own reality spinoff called Holly's World, but she also does a Vegas. Does she still do her show in Vegas, Nicole Peep Show?
No, she popped out a baby.
So she doesn't do the show anymore?
No.
Yo, she plowed out a couple babies?
So what's she doing now?
She's gonna start her own burlesque show.
She's gonna plow out some burlesque.
Alright. And then there's Kendra Wilkinson, who is famous for doing absolutely nothing, and then she got her own spinoff, which is now in like its sixth
where she
season.
Works on a farm and she plows.
No, she fucking fights with her mom and milks the whether or not her husband cheated on her angle for an entire season.
I thought you were going to say she milks the cows.
She milks the cows for a whole season. She's on the new season of The Simple Life.
There is an episode
where she milks a cow. Is that right? If you guys didn't hear that at home, Nicole says there is an episode where she milks a cow. I offered to have you on this show. You could join us instead of yelling from the other room.
I'm watching TV.
She's plowing through it.
Yeah, I assume you've seen it before, though. Yeah. Are you watching Girls Next Door?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so.
So.
And then the third one is Bridget. What's Bridget's last name?
Marquette.
Should we leave?
Right, right. Please. And then Bridget did her own spin-off show called Bridget's Sexiest Beaches on the Travel Channel, which we have on DVD, where she just goes to.
They released that on DVD.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to special order it for my wife. She travels to a beach in another part of the world and hangs out.
Right on.
But of all the spin-off shows, that one's my favorite because at least they're doing something.
Are they?
Yeah, she goes to, like, Jamaica and then they talk about Jamaica for a little while. Right. Even if she, like, even if there has to be a scene where she goes to the beach and hangs out. At least at some point, like, we're going on a tour for Bob Marley lives. I'm like, well, that's better than nothing. Look, I'm sorry that my wife isn't watching Masterpiece Theater like your girlfriend, but I have to...
I just said she was watching L.A. Inc.
Yeah, but you said it very disdainfully. It's like, oh, that's interesting to you? Is it interesting to you, Joey? Oh, I'm going to play Pokemon and fucking piss me off.
What?
I had a really bad walk with my dog.
Just curious.
I almost got run over. I've been almost run over 3 times this week.
Maybe
people are
jerks. Have you ever thought that maybe...
If you make a Nightbreed joke, I swear to God, you were going to, weren't you? You were teeing it up for Nightbreed.
Nope.
What? What were you going to say?
I was going to say, have you thought, when do you typically take Bender for a walk?
I typically don't. It's usually Nicole does.
But when you go, like, by dusk?
Well, tonight.
Like,
well,
where it's a little bit dark?
It's dark before I leave work now. So
would you say that, what's his type of breed?
He's an American Bulldog, bro.
But when he's outside at night...
Yeah?
What kind of breed is... That's what I was trying to...
Oh, a night breed, I see. Okay, good one. Yeah.
No.
What are you trying to... What, Rob? He's an American Bulldog.
But at night, is his breed different?
No, because that would be stupid.
Because night breed?
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Maybe if you got, like, one of those flashing collars.
Me?
No. I'm not doing anything wrong. This is not me and Bender's fault. First of all...
Get him to wear a vest. You should wear a vest. Let's get him a vest.
What kind of vest?
Yes.
Yeah. No! Why should I have to change? Everyone else is the ones who suck. And okay.
You've been hit 3 times.
No,
by
I
not,
have been hit
by,
0 times.
You've been hit 3 times by 3 different people. You're the... You are the...
Only once has it happened on a walk. You hit 2 times through a parking lot. No. Once was on my street, in broad daylight, I might add, when I was just trying to cross the street. Fuck you. Last night, I was in a parking lot, and I roared and yelled and gave the finger, and the guy didn't even know that I was mad at him. But, and then tonight, I'm halfway across the street, there's 2 lanes, the first lane stops, I get to the edge of his car, 3 cars go screaming by in the other lane, and I'm like...
So
what the fuck?
It's 5 cars that almost hit you, Joe. So you have to start taking responsibility now. You have to wear reflective clothing.
None of these things were my fault.
This is victim blaming.
Yeah, you don't... Thank you. You do not blame the victim. God.
Change what you're wearing.
You're
Joe,
worse
right?
than Gamergate.
You're asking for it.
Yeah, you're asking for those
cars.
Yeah,
don't cross the street, bro. What are you, my shoes? You're asking to get run over. What happens if you're walking?
Oh my god.
I mean, honestly, I live in Calgary. I should know better than to not be in my car 24/7, but still. I'm just trying to go. In one case, I'm just trying to walk to my car. In the next case, I'm just trying to exchange money for goods and services to keep our economy strong.
Was it on oil? Are you buying gas?
I was buying maybe a plastic, though.
That's good. That's helping.
Video dub.
WWE,
like which is now the CW. And then tonight, I was just trying to make sure my dog doesn't get, like, diabetes or something from being too fat.
Oh. If I take it for a walk, if I don't take it for a walk before 9, it gets diabetes.
No, it's nothing to do with when it's...
Oh, do you have diabetes?
The only reason... Okay, look. I took him for a walk at 7 because my kid goes to bed at 7. So the kid went to bed. I took the dog for a walk. Normally, Nicole walks the dog, but she fucked up her knee in a mosh pit with you. She got drunk and went into a mosh pit and hurt her knee, which is terribly sad.
Why
bad for her.
Do people...
I blame
okay,
you.
Okay, here's the
I blame
thing.
You because she went to lots
you
of...
You are now, like, the third or fourth person. We all feel bad for Nicole.
We do.
I was just in the room. What did
because
I do?
I went to a lot of punk shows with her over the years and she
yeah,
never got
and
hurt.
Yeah, and you fell asleep
never
in the corner.
Yes. Did she get hurt?
She may have. You were asleep. You wouldn't have been able to
Nicole,
tell.
Nicole, did you get hurt? I rest my case. She said no.
I have been blamed for Nicole's mom yesterday.
When did you? Why would you see her mom yesterday?
They came. Her and Taylor came over to go pick up the.
This is unnecessary background.
We were walking down the stairs at your house. Nicole's aunt. Oh, I hear you took her into a wash pit. You did this. I went. Okay.
Well, here's the thing.
She's
an
adult.
Well, which is all the more reason she shouldn't be in a mosh pit. But here's the thing. My mom.
Look, wait. Why are you going into those
things? Here's the thing. I don't think that you dragged her in. I don't think that. It is easier to blame you. Because I don't have to live with you. If I say, Nicole, you are an adult.
You succumbed.
I already said that it was my fault.
I'm not saying it was your fault.
No, I said it was my fault. I never blamed Rob.
I'm not saying I'm blaming Rob. I don't think it was your fault. I mean, okay, ultimately, yes, it was your fault. You got drunk and went in a mosh pit, and you're almost 30. I mean, what were you thinking? But, well, look, it's like if I joined Little League, and that's a bad example, because I'd probably get
arrested. You're a clown?
If I, what's a good example?
She's, like, seeing her knee right now.
Yeah, she's, exactly. And I feel terrible for her, because she can't do the thing she loves. And, like, it's got to be awful to realize that, like, the thing you love doing when you're 16, maybe you're not able to do it as much as you did when you were 16.
We play Pokemon.
Has anyone ever gotten injured doing that?
Yeah.
What?
My skitty fainted today.
To sleep.
No, my skitty fainted.
You can, your thumb from pressing too many buttons.
That's true. You know what? I got a little bit of chafing right there. Right on my,
One time I dropped my DS on my face.
On your face.
Well, because you play.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
no,
a good point.
I've got books on my face. It's cool. I knew what you meant. I figured. I didn't think you was a walk. You threw it in your own face. I mean, I guess we all have... I guess it's possible injuries.
You're walking
down
the street playing DS?
There is a subtle difference.
Hit by a car.
There's a difference here. There's a subtle difference between sitting quietly playing a handheld device and sure... A freak accident could occur. You could drop it on your face.
Do you play
quietly?
You could
get a sore thumb. You might
volume
even get a blister.
All the way. Fucking noisy.
There's a difference of scale between sitting quietly and playing Pokemon and getting drunk and running into a crowd of angry teenagers who are punching one another for sport.
I don't think they're actually teenagers, though. Like,
yeah, this is
really
the ship. They were all like in their 20s.
Well, they all didn't have any business being in there. It must have been early 20s. Don't these people have kids and families? They're all just, yeah, they're all desperately reliving. You mean desperately clinging to?
Yeah.
I mean, this sounds really lame, but like probably 2 years ago now, I officially used these words. I officially retired from punk rock. And I was like, I fucking hate this now. And I'm married to her, and I don't have to like put up with things I hate just to try and impress some girl now, because she's already thrown her life away on me, so I don't have to. So I remember, Nicole, I said that. I said, I'm retired from punk rock.
She's
shaking her head. No. She was busy plowing.
It was after we went to that terrible show in Edmonton with Charlie, remember?
Yes.
I said you were shaking your head. No, she's shaking her head because I'm lame. She's probably like, yeah, that happened, but he's a loser. Again, I didn't say I was cool for saying that I retired from punk rock. I'm just saying I retired from punk rock.
You thought you were pretty. You made that shirt and everything. You wore it every day for like
my punk rock retirement shirt?
Yeah.
I wanted to get that. You're joking, but I wanted to get a shirt that said retired from punk rock. And then I thought, no one will know what I'm talking about. And then they might ask me. And then
you got one of those monogrammed mugs that said old fart on it. Retired from punk.
It says like world's greatest punk rock dad. I watched a movie about punk rock dads. I did not care for it.
That was great.
I found almost without exception all those people horrible. I liked the guy from Pennywise, but then I found out after the movie he fucking went back to Pennywise. So I was like, well, fuck this guy. After this movie came out, where he makes this big deal about how, like, I guess I can't do this anymore because it's like my family's important and I've got to be a father.
We can't tour as much. They have a new record.
No,
out,
but he left the
tour.
Band.
Yeah, I know. But
then
he went
back.
Yeah, but they don't tour nearly as much anymore. So, they used to tour like 300 days a year.
Yeah, but the point was, like, the rest of the guys in his band were douchebags. They were assholes. Like, the fat guy who's the bass player?
Fletcher. Hello.
Is that his name?
Hello.
Yeah, fuck me for not knowing that, right?
It wasn't Dwayne or Fletcher who put up the barricades like a steak.
Can you name
heart.
All the keyboard players of Yes? No,
yes.
I'm not. You cannot.
Rick Wakeman.
One.
That's more than Bender can name.
Bender's a dog.
You know what? You're it.
Can you name the keyboard players from Yes? You like prog rock. You should know this.
Yeah, but I don't know names very well.
That's fine. I'm just...
And also, I only own one Yes record.
Which one? Is it Fragile or Close to the Edge?
I think it's just like a best of. It has a lot of like live songs on it.
Oh, maybe it's Yes, Yes Songs or Yesterday's
something or something. Like that, yeah.
The Yes album has a couple live tracks on it. Like The Clap was originally recorded live.
It's just called Clap.
No,
it's not called. Trust me, it's not called The Clap. It's just called Clap. And yes, that was one of Steve Howe's solo acoustic. When I'm in high school, I listen to a lot of Yes.
Me too. Close to the Edge, down by the river, close to the edge.
That's a good song.
Relayer was a really good record.
Relayer,
I liked it.
The Gates of Delirium is a good song. But Relayer, I think, is slightly overrated. I like Tales from Topographic Oceans better. Of all their like marathon, like the albums that have 20-minute songs on it, Tales is my actually Close to the Edge is my favorite.
Close to the edge, down by the river.
Down to the edge, down by the corner. Boom, boom, boom.
I have a bass
for my
student.
Turkey. I'm basting a turkey.
Hey, oh. I have a bass student that is a big Yes fan.
Is he all about that bass?
Yes, he is.
No trouble. He's a big Yes fan. So Chris Squire is his hero.
And he wanted to make his bass sound like Chris Squire. So I told him how.
A shilling coin?
But I also told him, don't do that because it's stupid.
No, that's how he did it.
I know, but it's so dumb.
Sounds awesome,
though. You destroy your strings doing that.
Look at more strings. It sounds great.
Or, just fucking develop your own sound, bud. No, but the point is,
sure.
I told him, but then he was like, oh, that's really cool.
I thought it was cool.
It is, but then have you ever tried to play like longer than 30 minutes with a coin?
Yeah, I have. It sucks.
It's garbage.
But back when I wanted to sound like Chris Squire.
Yeah.
Chris Squire used to play the bass with a shilling coin, right? And you get that really fat round tone. It sounds so good.
And now you can just do that if you just have a Rickenbacker bass.
He did. He played a Rick back then.
Yeah, no, but now you can make it sound exactly like that.
Well,
just
because he set the trend.
Thanks, Chris.
Squire.
I loved you in Nightbreed.
Wasn't in Nightbreed?
Yes, he was. He doesn't even know. He hasn't seen Nightbreed.
I read the magazine article about it.
You don't know shit.
I know shit. So Hellraiser 2 continues where Hellraiser 1 leaves off. And then Hellraiser 3 is really bad, but it's like super. It's like everything that the rest of the Hellraisers aren't, because it's like super campy and silly and cheesy. Bad.
Isn't that what you like, though?
But not in Hellraiser. But not in a good way either. It's just stupid. And then Hellraiser 4 is like, also has the first film role of Adam Scott.
As in you talking you two to me?
Also
Parks
that,
and Rec.
Yeah. But it takes place in like three different time periods, including the last 20 minutes for Hellraiser in space. Which
was the Leprechaun where he goes to space?
Leprechaun 4. Did we talk about this last week? Leprechaun
Did
4,
we?
I think.
Did we?
Because Leprechaun, no, maybe Leprechaun.
How are we
five?
Recycling old 80s weird movies that we don't even like or have seen?
I've seen Leprechaun.
Have you seen Leprechaun in space?
I don't know. It goes, okay, Leprechaun 4 in space.
Look
it goes,
go.
Leprechaun 2, obviously, followed by Leprechaun 3, Leprechaun 4 in space, Leprechaun 5 in the hood, Leprechaun 6 back to the hood, so it's actually like in the hood too, and then Leprechaun Origins is the new one. Who plays
when
Leprechaun?
When does the new one come out?
I think it's already out. It came out in August.
Why do they do these things?
It was limited. Well, apparently it's not bad either. And I think Warwick Davis isn't in this one. Because Hornswoggle plays him. That's right. WWE Studios produced it, and Hornswoggle plays Leprechaun. Hornswoggle's the midget, or little person, excuse me, on... Vince McMahon probably calls them midgets, but yeah.
Hey.
Little people.
What was the first WWE movie? Was it The Scorpion King?
Possibly. I don't know when they actually became WWE Studios. Like, yeah, it was The Scorpion King.
Ask me how I know that.
Because it came out when we were watching wrestling.
Yep.
And then there was The Rundown, which
that
was
also
really
disappointing.
Good.
The Rundown?
Yeah.
What's
and
that?
That's the one with The Rock and Sean William Scott when they're running down a hill.
For an hour and a half?
And then they made See No Evil, the slasher movie with Kane, and See No Evil 2 came out in October. Straight to DVD, directed by the Soska sisters, who are these twin horror movie film creators that are actually pretty cool. They made a movie last year called American Mary that I really liked. So there you go. And their first movie was called Dead Hooker in a Trunk.
Jesus.
Which I have seen.
Have you seen A Dead Hooker in a Trunk?
No, I've seen the movie. They made it for $2,500.
That's what I asked.
And they're Canadian, too.
Canadian people. Are
Canadian cool. broads. What? Whatever.
In one sentence, you transform to an 80-year-old.
They also have some local music from Vancouver,
there.
Including
great Canadian rap.
There's a Canadian freak pop band called Fake Shark Real
What's
Zombie.
What's freak pop? What is that thing?
I don't know. Wikipedia says they're called freak pop.
Can we just call this podcast?
Their musical
Robbie
style.
Asks
I can tell you the answer.
Questions.
Wikipedia describes that their musical style combines elements of IDM and post-hardcore. Anyway, the point is that I was getting to is that their name is a reference to a Lucio Fulci movie called Zombie, a.k.a. Zombie 2.
This band is called Fake Shark.
Fake Shark, Real Zombie. Because there's a scene in Zombie 2 where there's a shark who fights a zombie, and it's awesome.
I've actually heard of that band. That's weird that you
And the
that.
Cool thing about that movie, other than the fact that it's really good, it has the best eye-stabbing scene ever. Hey, Nicole? How gnarly was that eye? Huh?
She got a thumbs up.
Yeah, that doesn't work on a fucking podcast. You gotta say something.
I'm not on the podcast.
Well, you are now. Anyway, it's really good. And the eye thing, but also, in Italy, it was, like, illegally advertised as being the sequel to Dawn of the Dead, which is why it's called Zombie 2. It has nothing to do with Dawn of the Dead or George Romero in any way.
Like, Troll 2. How did they get...
Well, Troll 2, probably because they... The sequel rights to Troll was probably really, really cheap. But in this case, it was like, it was because it was in Italy and it was the 70s and there weren't, like, people policing this stuff very well. So they, like, billed it as the sequel to Dawn of the Dead. But it has really great zombie effects and it's a pretty fun little zombie exploitation movie. Right on? We get it on the Bride of the Creature. It was the first
yeah!
on this very podcast network. It was the first film we ever did on Bride of the Creature.
Zombie 2? Zombie.
I just call it... I mean, in America, it's been re-released as just Zombie, but it was called Zombie 2 there. And there is also a Zombie 3.
Is that the one where you can get the raccoon tail and fly around?
No, that's Mario 3. Oh, I can see why you would think that, though, because you're stupid.
Jesus.
And I think it was because when they released Dawn of the Dead in Italy, they just called it Zombie. And so then this was Zombie 2. And then Zombie 3, I don't know if it came out 10 years later. I'd never seen it. So
I ain't never seen such a thing.
And apparently it has nothing to do with Zombie 1 or 2. It's, the only thing it has in common is that it's another zombie horror movie. And it was also directed by Lucio Fulci. Okay.
That seems like something that's stereotypical of a lot of low-budget horror. That it's just sequels that seem to have no relation to the predecessors. Am I right in assuming that?
I think it's actually common with a lot of genres. It's just like any cheap genre picture, if you can buy the rights to a like even a tiny known film to do a sequel to, even if it's not like the Return of the Living Dead series, the first two kind of are alike, and then after that it just becomes like a title, you know, kind of like Halloween 3 for that matter. But that one makes sense because it was the original idea for Halloween was to have it be a different plot with different characters every different year. So each year they would just
an
do
anthology.
An anthology film series. But Halloween 1 was so successful that the sequel, which isn't great, had Michael Myers and takes place like 30 seconds after the end of the first one.
And then the third one had the love guru in it?
Mike Myers? Oh, I get you. Okay. No, the third one is the one with, it's called Season of the Witch, and it has this plot to kill kids with Halloween masks when the TV plays a commercial. It's so weird. It's so bad that it's
as weird
worth
as
watching.
The
like,
Love Guru.
It's so weird to watch. You're like, how did? I mean, they did an episode of How Did This Get Made about it, but it's just like a fun. We watched it, right, hon?
Hey, you plowing?
Have you guys ever seen the Lucio Fulci movie?
No.
He's one of the big three of Italian horror. They always it's let me see if I remember it's Lucio Fulci, Mario Bava, and Dario Argento.
I've never heard of any of those.
Dario people. Argento made Suspiria. You ever seen Suspiria? It is BH, but it's one of the most like famous, probably the most famous Italian horror film ever made. It's quite good. And then Mario Bava, whom I of the three of them I like Bava the best. He made movies like Black Sunday, Black Sabbath. We did Black Sabbath on the pod, right, hon? And he did movies. They all did, particularly there was a genre called the Giallo film. It's an Italian genre that was kind of like the precursor to American slasher films. So they were kind of just like melodramas that usually had like a masked killer and usually with a knife or something. And there was it was one of the first like body count movies where like they would just rack
body
up a
count.
Bunch of like
body count
motherfucker.
Body count motherfucker.
Where they would just rack up like body counts throughout the film, and they're basically slashers, only they're way more stylistic and a lot better for the most part. And then when they started to try to do them here, the slasher boom happened in the 80s.
The slasher boom.
I know a lot about horror movies.
You really do. It's interesting.
I love horror movies.
I have seen Nightbreed.
You haven't seen Nightbreed.
I've seen Videodrome.
I got really interested in Italian horror after a bunch of Mario Bava movies turned up on Netflix, and I watched like 7 or 8
It's a me, Mario Bava movies.
Yep. He has a movie called Twitch of the Death Nerve, which has also been released under like 3 other titles, like Bay of Blood is the one that most people know by, but I first heard about it on the Hot Fuzz commentary disc. There's on the special edition of Hot Fuzz, there's a commentary track that's Edgar Wright and Quentin Tarantino, and all they do is just talk about other movies. They barely talk about the movie at all. They just like list Italian movies and other movies that Quentin Tarantino introduced Edgar Wright to, because they both love B movies and such. And they talked about a bunch of
like that movie you watched last night.
B movie.
It's more like a C or D
movie. It's not good. I have an anecdote about that movie though. One of the funniest things my wife ever said. We were in the theater before it came out, and they, you know, before movies they have like the stupid, not previews, but like the
guess whose face is this?
Yeah, and they did one of those little like featurettes where it was like Jerry Seinfeld talking about B-movie, and this was the first big project he had done since ending Seinfeld, so it kind of had some buzz.
Oh god, I want to die. I want to die.
Anyway, so their show comes through, and then it cuts to Jerry Seinfeld sitting like in this chair being interviewed, and he seems like very like pondering, and he's just like, yeah, and he goes, I've always been fascinated with bee culture. And there's this beat, Nicole goes, really? Have you? I laughed so hard. Because she's like, that's such bullshit. No, you haven't. Really? Have you? Just, and then I watched the movie, and I'm like, this movie is retarded. I should kind of stop saying that word. This movie is bad.
Oh.
It's just not very good. I think Chris Rock is in it, too, isn't he?
Maybe, I don't know.
Chris Rock is in a lot of bad stuff.
He's in some good stuff, though.
I like his stand-up. I think he's very
funny.
I like
his stand-up.
His new movie
I liked it
looks really dumb.
I think it looks okay. It looks kind of like his version of Stardust Memories, which is a Woody Allen movie.
Okay.
Woody Allen. I wish I didn't like his movie so much because he's such a D-bag.
For the longest time, I had it in my head that I was like, I'm going to watch a bunch of Woody Allen because I've really only seen Midnight in Paris and another one of his, I don't even know. But I'd always meant to watch Annie Hall. And then, you know, I read about him. And then I went, well, now I have a reason to never watch any of his movies. All right, moving on.
I was going
to
ask, like, what do you guys think, not about that specific case, but, like, when you find out, are you still able to enjoy art from an artist who you find
it makes it awful? Difficult.
I mean, I guess it's easier if you never got into him in the first place.
Yeah, like, I find if, like, I'm into, like, someone before and then I find out that they're a douchebag, I still enjoy what they've done.
Yeah.
Like,
and I guess it depends on what they did, too, because, like, Tom Cruise may be crazy, but I love Tom Cruise.
I think Roald Dahl books mean so much to me and were so important to me as a kid, and still to this day, like, Fantastic Mr. Fox and Matilda are some of my favorite books ever. And I remember for so long, I have all of his old books collected with new editions with art by Quentin Blake. And I was so excited. I was like, when we have kids, Sarah, this is going to be amazing. We're going to give this to our kids. And I'm going to read the Roald Dahl books just like I did when I grew up. And I read a little bit about Roald Dahl, not just his work. And I was like, oh, no, he's the worst.
I mean,
and now I don't want to do that anymore.
What they did. Like,
he hated Jews and he beat his wife.
Yeah.
He was a piece of shit.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I guess it, like, for example, who's the guy who, I can't remember, I'm forgetting his name. He's the science fiction author who wrote Ender's Game. And did sequel Speaker for the Dead.
Orson Scott Card.
Orson Scott Card, thank you. And, like, I know those books are beloved. Like, they're two of the most well-regarded science fiction novels of all time. And I just and I have a copy of each of them upstairs. I just hadn't gotten around to reading them yet. And then I found out what a fucking piece of shit he is. And I was like, well, I've never read any of these books, so it's really easy for me to be like, well, I guess I never will. Now,
I've had Ender's Game since I was I've had a copy of Ender's Game.
And at the same
forever.
Time, maybe it is still a really, really good book. But I feel like,
it's
really
hard.
Need to. But at the same time, like, I've seen a lot. I've seen 30-plus Woody Allen movies. He's one of my favorite directors. And then when all that stuff kind of came out, and I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Do I feel guilty now that I've loved his art so much? Do I stop watching it?
Well, you don't feel guilty for liking his art. Obviously, you want to make.
Do I stop giving him money when he makes a new movie?
I would stop doing that. Yeah, that's kind of where I would go.
I don't know, because like, so what? So somehow it's better if I steal his movie to watch it.
Sure.
I think there's like a difference between like a person and what they create.
I kind of have to agree.
You
like,
have to separate the art from the artist, but
to an extent, yeah. I don't know. It's like same thing. Like Bill Cosby is a horrible person, but how fucking much have I listened to Bill Cosby comedy in my life? When I was a kid, I wanted to be a comedian because of how much I loved Bill Cosby.
Himself is a really good special.
Bill Cosby himself is one of the greatest comedy specials ever filmed.
Yeah.
You know? So it's really weird. It's hard to... I mean, I know it's... We should just say, you know, separate the art from the artist because that goes a certain distance, but...
It's not black and white like that, though.
Yeah, I guess
totally
there isn't,
gray.
Like, a blanket thing.
Because, again, the stuff that I learned growing up, say, from Roald Dahl books about anti-authoritarian, like... totally harvesting your own independent spirit and becoming creative with no matter what your environment. All those kids in those books grow up having parental units or weird,
it's
angry
cool,
people yelling at them. And it's always about
it's
always about kids and kids being intelligent, not being naive
and
being clever and always
especially
winning,
being smarter than the adults.
Yeah.
There's no Roald Dahl book where the kid isn't smarter than the adult.
And and all those books have a really powerful message and are really excellent stories. Like Matilda.
Here's the thing.
No,
I'm just
going to
say this. Like those ones, I completely agree. But I remember thinking, yeah, Roald Dahl wrote some amazing stuff. So I started to try and get some like deep cuts, and I read a couple, and I was like, what was the one that Nicole and I read not too long ago to Brody? They got to the end and they're like, this book is a fucking piece of shit. It was horrible.
Some of them are pretty evil.
It was not even evil. It was just stupid. It was like this girl sees this family shooting ducks and she gets mad and then the family turns into gets tiny and the ducks get really big and get guns and chase them. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? This book is...
Again,
this book is terrible.
Yeah, again.
It's so bad.
Looking into Roald Dahl, the person.
S.E.O. Trot?
And, yeah, S.E.O. Trot is the one about the turtle, yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of his deep cuts are
even George
Romero's
medicine is kind of...
The Revolting Rhymes? Because after... I had the Revolting Rhymes and I was like, I wonder if like all of his books are actually bogus. I don't know if he was just bogus,
but some of his
revolting rhymes are pretty... One of them involves some king wanting to... what's the end? The last line is, there's that slut, cut off her nut, because she, like, kisses a guy. So he gets all of these men to go chase this poor woman and cut her head off, and he calls her a slut in a children's book.
I think that one was more because it was, like, in the era he was writing in the UK... That word isn't... It's like when like in the UK, you call your friends cunts and it's no big deal.
Yeah.
Here, some people do that, but that word has a different connotation in North America than it does in the UK. You know, like, you can't... I would never expect to see Seth Rogen walk out in the movie and go, can I get any of you cunts a drink? But when Nick Frost does it in Shaun of the Dead, nobody bats an eye because it's just something that they say there, you know? So I wonder how... I mean, don't get me wrong, it's offensive. But I wonder, like... how offensive it was in context of the time. It doesn't make it okay. It's like H.P. Lovecraft. He has a lot of racist stuff. Weirdly enough, the more I'm learning about Lovecraft, the more, like, there's no defense for any of his racist bullshit that he says in his stories, but he was slightly more enlightened than a lot of people in his era, and he gets kind of singled out as being horrible because his books are still being read.
Oh.
So, like, which does not excuse any of the incredibly bogus racist bullshit in some of his stories. Some of them really are ridiculous, some of the things he says and does in those stories. But in the context of when they were written, it was more like he's actually slightly enlightened for his time in a weird kind of a way. Because I've always liked Lovecraft. I've never thought he was the best writer. Some of his stories are better written than others. He definitely has a very distinctive style that it's difficult, I think, more than bad, the more I think about it. But like, he uses certain words a lot to the point where it's funny. Like, you can count the times he says gibbous or cyclopean to describe things. Like, he loves the word cyclopean. And it's funny because people read it down and be like, well, what is it supposed to mean? The building has one eye? And like, actually, in that word doesn't mean only has one eye. In the context he's using it in, it means big and scary. That's what the word means. Look it up. But he does, like, he'll never say that, like, the moon was full and shit was scary. He says, like, the gibbous waning moon.
The moon was full and shit was scary.
I'm not a writer. Well, I guess I am a writer, but I'm not a very good writer. But yeah, he wrote some cool stories. I don't know how I got onto Lovecraft. Oh yeah, because he was racist. I actually feel more sorry for Lovecraft when I read about him, which, again, doesn't excuse any of that stuff at all. But you when you hear about him, you're like, this was like a really, like... You almost feel bad because this was an intelligent guy whose xenophobia... Even when you read his letters, it's like, you don't even think the things that you're saying sometimes. Like, you're just flawed because you're missing some crucial piece of information because at the time this was just, like, accepted and no one challenged you on it. And you were intelligent enough that if somebody had challenged you on it or you thought about it beyond what was just, like, the anthropological... Like, he was... His racist bullshit was totally in line with a lot of major anthropologists of the time. The idea that the black race was, like, inferior, not just because white people are better, but because there was, like, actual anthropological, like, reason behind their bullshit. It was wrong, obviously, but, like, anthropologists and geneticists and these people all were like, oh yeah, no, it's also this, it's like an underdeveloped, like they're actually like subhuman in some way, and they had what they assumed was science behind it. That's what's crazy, because a lot of people, I think even now, I remember I watched this movie called Prom Night in Mississippi, and it was about in 2008 there were this high school still had a segregated prom in Mississippi. Didn't the Morgan school was integrated. Morgan Freeman. What happens is Morgan Freeman finds out that the high school in his hometown still has a segregated prom, even though the school's now not segregated anymore. And he says he'll pay for the biggest, best prom that this town has ever had, ever, if they have an integrated prom. And so most people are cool with it, but there's still some holdouts of white idiot people in Mississippi. And there's this one character in the movie, this guy, and he's one of the daughter who's dating a black kid. And... it's like, listening to him talk, you're just like, you're saying this is wrong just because it's what your dad used to say. Hearing you talk, you don't even feel there's anything wrong with this kid. You like this kid. You're not even a bad guy, necessarily. You just don't have any critical thinking skills whatsoever. Like, it doesn't excuse your racism, but it's tragic because you have been failed by an education system and a society that hasn't given you the tools to not be such a fucking idiot. So it's tragic, first and foremost, because people are being discriminated against and racism is fucking bullshit no matter what. And it's also tragic because this guy is in some way a victim as well. It's frustrating. Mm. You know? I don't know what my point was.
I like your
point. Other than you should see the movie.
But...
it's a good movie. I have the DVD.
Talking about art and the artist, what I think is... the most tragic is when the artist is completely flawed and awful, and his art is also awful.
You're getting into Bukowski here.
That's exactly who I'm talking about.
You hate Bukowski.
He makes me so angry because he's so celebrated, and people fucking love Bukowski.
Because people romanticize drunks.
Yeah, but he beats the shit out of people in those books, and he's just... horrible!
Because after Hemingway, everyone decided you had to be like a drunken... Because Hemingway was like a legitimately brilliant writer who also happened to be a drunk and a fool.
See, that's the other thing. People also always say that Bukowski was a brilliant writer and a brilliant poet. Have you fucking read any Bukowski poems?
No.
They're not fucking poems! They're just dog shit! It's nothing!
Yeah, you know what the problem with that is? I know so little about poetry that when someone says this isn't a poem... It's
okay,
like,
I take that back. This isn't good. It's just horrendous.
I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm saying I would love to know more about poetry. I know very little. I've never really... Even music, like, I never know what the words to songs are. Hardly ever. Even when I do... Sometimes I'll have been singing a song for years and then one day be like, I should actually read what the lyrics that I'm singing are and read them and go, holy shit. they might be writing a song called They'll Need a Crane. And it's like this super happy upbeat song. I'm always singing it. Then I read the lyrics one day. I'm like, holy fuck, this is the most depressing song I've ever read. This is about like a marriage collapsing. And the song is like, ding, 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 ding. It's like, it's super upbeat and peppy. And then like, the lyrics, it's a beautiful poem, but it's also like, this song is sad. So I'm really bad with poems. Like, I'm good with, like, obvious rhyming, like, quirky poems. But
prove
not
it,
like,
go.
Not like,
One fish, two fish.
There you go.
That's when I wrote that children's book, it rhymes, and I think it's pretty good, but, like, there's no, like, depth of meaning behind any of the things I write or think. I'm stupid is the problem.
Some of my favorite lyrics are completely just like nonsense and abstract.
Fish. Does this song sound to you like it should be about a marriage collapsing?
Love's happiness, but happiness can see the love is sad, the love is sad.
And I don't, I'm singing the lyrics and I know I'm just like, the love is sad, that's what happens, what does that mean?
Change, they need a change, they'll need a crane, they'll need a crane to take the house he built for her apart to make it for anyway.
It's kind of like that Escape, that song. I used to think that was like a happy song.
Escape by a Journey?
No, like the Pina Coladas.
Oh, if you like Pina Coladas.
Wait, that's not a happy song?
Get it.
I thought it was
like
about Pina Coladas.
It's like, it's kind of, it's like this one guy reads an ad in a newspaper about this girl who like wants to hook up and they have similar interests, so he goes and cheats on his wife to go see that person, but that person also ends up being his wife and they're like, oh haha, and that's the song.
That's
so
not
like, and then like, Ashley Madison guy read that song and was like, I could totally make this work.
That's
made
such
it into
a
business model.
Oh wow, funny seeing you here.
Okay.
Infidelity.
I was in the car with my dad the other day and he had the country music station on. And this song came on called Whoever's in New England. And I'm just going to read you this. It's only 5-6 stanzas, so it's never long. But, like, this is the... I mean, it is a country western song.
Is it, like, Toby Keith level of stupidity?
It's just... Okay, it's,
straight
no,
up
no, no, here's
man
the thing.
Boys.
Toby Keith songs are very, like... He's... It's a work. Like, even if he does maybe feel that way, but he's clearly pandering to a specific... group of like Confederate flag waving goofballs. He has songs like Red Solo Cup, I Fill You Up, Let's Have a Party. Like, you can't take anything Toby Keith says seriously. He has that song Beer for My Horses, which by the way is a fantastic song. It is so catchy. Him and Willie Nelson sing about bringing
up
whiskey
them
for
bad
my
boys
man.
And
yeah,
bring
no,
them all down.
Again,
fucking shoot all
stupid.
The brown people in the
okay,
fucking
he,
mouth.
First of all, he doesn't say that. He's saying all he. It's basically it was like a flag waving, like America's going to war. We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men and beer for my horses. It's like a lot of country pop music. I am convinced is borderline novelty music. Like I have to believe most of these.
Is it
know.
Friday yet?
But like again,
I'm in work and so
dang I don't think anybody
hard.
Takes Toby Keith seriously. He's clearly for like
and he does.
I don't listen to him.
The entire cast of Nightbreed did.
Can I get to my point? So this song comes on, and like it's like a ballad, like it's a slow, pretty ballad sung by Reba McEntire.
Oh, yes. Reba!
I'll get to why I don't hate Reba. But anyway, so this is the 6 stanzas, not very long. Here's the song. It's called "Whoever's in New England." So you spend an awful lot of time in Massachusetts. All these spell Massachusetts here. I'm sure it's supposed to be Massachusetts.
No, probably.
But
they don't make mistakes on
the spend an awful lot of time in Massachusetts. Seems like every other week you've got a meeting waiting there. Business must be booming, or could be something else be moving in the air up there. You say that it is important for
is
our future.
Farts?
Yeah. You say it's important for our future. An executive on his way up has got to play the part. Each time duty calls, you get to give it all. You've got with all your heart. You've got to give it all you've got with all your heart. When whoever's in New England is through with you and Boston finds better things to do, you know it's not too late because you'll always have a place to go when whoever's in New England's through with you. I hear the winter time up north can last forever. I've been told it's beautiful to see this time of year. They say the snow can blind you till the world you left behind just disappears, I hear. I packed your bags and left them in the hallway, but before you leave again, there's just one thing you ought to know. When the icy winds blow through you, remember that it's me who feels the cold most of all. And whoever's in New England is through with you. Basically, it's saying, when you're finished fucking that skank in Boston, it's cool, you can come back, because I'll always be here waiting, it's okay. I'm your wife. It's okay for you to step out and fuck all kinds of broads. It's all good. I'm here, baby. And I was like, Reba, if you weren't in Tremors, I would be so mad at you right now. Is that not a horrible fucking song?
That's pretty ridiculous.
What a terrible sentiment. When, girls, when your husband shoots on you, because you know he will, just make sure that you tell him, hey, I get it. Come on back. That's like a theme in country western music when women say, like, stand by your man.
Yeah.
That is a preposterously bad song.
What about Before He Cheats, though?
What's that?
Oh, Carrie that's where... Isn't that where she, like, keys his car or something?
Yeah.
Is that, like,
before
fuck you?
Before he cheats. Yeah, isn't it? Who's
I've
the lady?
I've never heard it before.
Carrie Underwood. Oh, sorry.
Right now, he's probably slow dancing with a bleach blonde tramp, and she's probably...
Right now, he's probably slow dancing with a bleach blonde blonde
right
karaoke.
Now, he's probably buying her some fruity little drink because she can't shoot... Oh, I have heard this song.
And she destroys his truck. Of course,
I like that. That's kind of a fun little song.
Yeah, that's
like,
a fun song.
Your boyfriend's his dickhole, so fuck him and Keith's car. I don't know. I mean, again, most country, most pop music in general, but whether it's country or regular, is just novelty music that espouses some really bad ideas. I mean, you should not ever, under any circumstances, brush your teeth with a bottle of Jack. It is bad for your teeth.
The bottle itself?
Even worse!
Some of my favorite lyrics of all time are some of the most nonsense lyrics ever. Pavement has a song called Shady Lane, and one of their lyrics is, "A redder shade of neck on a whiter shade of trash." And that is my favorite lyric of all time.
That's a pretty good lyric.
Out on tour with the Smashing Pumpkins, nature kids, but they don't have no function. I don't understand what they mean, and I can really give a fuck. That's a great lyric.
See, one of the reasons I like Fish's lyrics is because most of the times they are, and some of them are nice, but a lot of them are literally nonsense poems.
Oh, yeah, the one that I said wasn't nonsense. The second
don't mean
one,
anything.
That, yeah.
Like, my favorite poem of all time is a Fish poem, and it's called McGrupp and the Watchful Hose Masters. And it's just, like, delightfully strange.
Do you think the Tom Waits song, Tango Till They're Sore, is about anything apart from dancing?
I don't I'm sure it is.
Well, you play the tarantella.
All the hounds will start to roar.
The boys
all
go to
hell,
heaven,
and the Cubans hit the floor.
They drive along the pipeline, and they tango till they're sore. They take apart their nightmares, and they leave them by the door.
Let me fall out of the window.
What are the lyrics to, do you like Tom Waits?
Tom Waits for No Man. There's
a
band called Tom Waits for No Man, which I think is pretty great. Really?
Or the lyrics to The Piano Has Been Drinking are some of the best.
The carpet needs a haircut, and the spotlight looks like... See, that was from his era when he was doing just, like, fun, like, nightclub music, you know?
Yeah.
The piano!
Sorry?
Was he an actor, too?
Yeah, he's been in a bunch of movies.
Yeah, he's been in, like, Mystery Man and a bunch of Jim Jarmusch flicks.
I think he was in The Outsiders.
Probably.
I remember seeing him.
In the bar scene.
That sounds like something that he would be involved in.
I was in high school. We used to... In junior high, actually, for that matter, we used to quote stuff from The Outsiders constantly because that was the funniest thing we'd ever read.
I was like obsessed with that book.
It's a good book.
My yearbook for
you're
junior
absolutely
high,
right.
Definitely had like
our yearbook is all just like "Stay Gold, Pony Boy," like,
stay
and
gold.
Like my favorite was Two Bits. I got me an ornery pony. He had like he would ride someone else's pony and say it was his, and the pony was mean, so he'd go, "I got me an ornery pony." And Two Bit, he also had a switchblade. It was Two Bit Switch. When we had a band named Two Bit Switch at one point.
Oh,
and
Tom
like,
Waits.
The Socias wore Madras t-shirts. Yeah.
You know, in Fight Club, when they're going into the bar, like, to go to the first Fight Club meeting, and the song that's playing, brum, 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 "We're going out west where the wind
Tom
blows
tall."
Yeah, that's Tom Waits.
When Rob and I saw Primus live, they covered a Tom Waits song because Les Claypool plays on that album. He plays on that song, Big in Japan. I love Tom Waits. I listen
He's
to a lot
hero.
Of Tom Waits. He's one of the few live artists I would actually go see. I don't like going to live music very much anymore, but I love that song.
He's
and
one
all
of the
of
few
stuff.
Live artists who never plays live. Because
he's
old. And he doesn't want to leave New York.
I don't blame him.
Yeah.
If I was hanging out in New York, I'd be like, I'm going to hang out in New York.
Well, I'm
that
falling
was a,
asleep. But
that was a, as what do I call it?
Sentence.
Fuck. No. Garbage insight.
I've had a lot of those.
Hellraiser 5. Hellraiser 5 is pretty good, and Scott Derrickson directed it, and he made Sinister, which was an okay movie. Alright, well, I guess we can wrap it up. Alright, Tom Waits will play us out while I wrap up the show. He's here. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Waits. This is my favorite Tom Waits album. New variations.
You and every other person.
I don't think that's true.
I know. this is Sarah's favorite. There's a bunch of my friends' favorite Tom Waits album.
I like all of his albums. Lately, I've also been listening to Hardest Saturday Night a lot.
Hardest Saturday Night.
And Small Changes. They're all good.
Rain
they're
Dogs
really good.
Is... If I could only own one record, I'd own Rain Dogs.
I think Rain Dogs is probably his best album, but this is my favorite. If that makes sense. Anyway, until next week, hopefully there wasn't too much gas leaking into the kitchen this week. We touched on a lot. We talked about Nightbreed, which we should probably fucking watch.
I've seen it. You've seen it, haven't you?
We talked about music. We talked about laughter. We talked about learning. We talked about loving. We talked about art. We talked about fart.
Was that Reba McEntire song about farting, though? Is that what she was talking about? The air
above
you?
Adultery and forgiving it.
Adults fart too.
You're fucking human garbage. Anyway, until the following week, yeah, we'll be back next week, I'm sure. It's not Christmas time yet. We won't go on holiday just yet. So until next week, I'm Joey G.
Robbie G.
Catchphrase! Signing off.
I do a good ride.
You do.